chapter 9 and verse 6. He said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And thank God Jesus was given. He came as a child the first time. First time he came into this world, he came born in a lowly manger. He came humble as a poor man. And he came to be the Savior of the world. Thank God he did. Thank God. When John the Baptist saw him in John chapter 1 verse 9, he said, 29, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
And that's the one that I'm speaking about. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born and a son is given, and thank God for the gospel. For the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his death and his burial and his resurrection. Thank God for that this morning.
Amen.
I'm saved by that.
Yep.
And
Amen.
Thank God for it. Jesus and what he did. He came the first time as a Savior. But thank God. Then Isaiah said, and unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Thank God, that's referring to the second time he comes. The government's going to be on his shoulders. And it's then to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Thank God for the Prince of Peace. I'm glad that I know him today. In fact, if any person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they'll never have peace like you and I have that know him. You see, the world claims they want peace. You see, people many times say they want peace. Even the wicked, you know, they say they want peace. They say they do, but really they don't. Think about all the peace treaties that are going on. All the paper that's wasted. You're saying they want peace. But they really don't want peace. No, they don't. You said, how do you know? Because they are by nature the same as I was. And I still have that old nature. But they are by nature the children of wrath.
Come on.
They don't really want peace. They say they do. But they don't. And the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 22, he said, there is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked. They don't have any peace like you and I had it.
Come on.
You see, I didn't have peace until February 17th, 1988.
Come on.
Until I got born again.
Amen.
And then, thank God, I might have said hypocritically like they do. I might, you know, the wicked speak hypocritically. And he said, they speak peace hypocritically. In Psalm 28 and verse 3, he said, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. You see, that's what has happened. You have many people today, they're saying they want peace. Our leaders are saying they want peace, but you know what they want? Mischief. They've got mischief in. They're deceiving us. They say they want peace, but you know what they want? Really and truthfully, can you look around and see what they want? They want prestige. They want politics. And they want these things that are all of the flesh. Because they are by nature the children of wrath. They don't have that new nature inside of us like you and I do that are saved. They speak peace, but they really don't want it. And you see, if they continue on in the direction they're headed, they could wait too late. If they don't get saved, born again, they could wait too late. The prophet Ezekiel said, in Ezekiel 7 and verse 25, destruction cometh. They shall seek peace, and there shall be none.
Amen.
And we know that if we read and study our Bibles and we see what's going on right now, we see the devil beginning to have his heyday. But one of these days, you see, God's going to rapture his church out. He's going to take us home to heaven. He's going to open up the door of heaven and say, come up hither.
Amen.
And you and I who are saved, we're going to hear it. It's going to be a secret coming just for us.
Yeah.
See, the other people are going to sit around. They're going, not going to know what happened. But you see, we're going to be caught up. We're going he's not going to come to the earth that time. This time when he comes, the rapture.
Yeah.
This time when he comes, he's going to come secretly in the clouds.
Yeah.
He's going to take us up to be with him. But thank God, then you and I are not going to be in this world where tribulation, all out tribulation, 7 years of serious tribulation is going to break out.
Right.
And there's going to be trouble on this earth like never before. And the Antichrist is going to promise peace, but he's going to do everything he can to take away peace. He's a deceiver. He's one of the chief deceivers. Satan himself is leading and guiding him. And you see, he's going to go around and say peace, peace, but he's going to be mischievously. He's going to have mischief in his heart, and he's going to take over. He's going to rule and reign. He's going to first take his seat in Rome, and then at mid-tribulation, he's going to move over to Jerusalem and take over there. And you see, the apostate church is going to sit around. You know, there are many churches today. They're locked up. They're bound up in apostasy. Yeah. They've never believed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. They may sing Amazing Grace, but in their heart, they've never believed. Amen. They may say, yes, I'm saved, but in their heart, they know they're not. They may, then some don't even want to be saved. They say there's many ways to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But you see, some of these people, they're going to sit around and say, yeah, I know there's going to be peace. And they're going to, apostasy is going to be destroyed. You see, the apostate church, which is the Bible calls the harlot church over there in Revelation. Amen. Chapter 17. It talks about the harlot church and how many, many people, you know, that they'll maintain their own identity, but they're going to come under the umbrella of the Antichrist. And then he's going to take over and he's going to do away with it because they're in competition with him. And he's going to declare that they worship him. So they're not going to have any peace. They're not going to have any peace, but you and I, thank God we have peace. And Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 31, he said, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and draw and doeth his will, him he heareth. You see, until I bowed my knee that night, February 17th, 1988, I might have studied religion and might have held hands and said a little sobriety prayer, you know what I mean, but God didn't really hear that. But see, when I bowed that night and I said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, from then on I got direct access to the throne room. And thank God he hears my prayer. And thank God Jesus is on the throne. And that night when I got saved, he said in Proverbs 3:24, from here on out, you see, he said, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy peace shall be, thy sleep shall be sweet.
Amen.
Thank God I've had sweet sleep. Amen. If I get my tongue right, sweet sleep. I've had that since I got saved. I got peace in my heart.
Amen.
About a lot of things that used to bother me. As I studied the Word of God more and more, I get answers to a lot of questions. You see, as I said before, I was saved when I studied the Word of God. I studied it from a historical point of view, from a religious point of view. I understood it the way the natural man stood it, and that is, don't understand it. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, for you have received the Spirit which is not of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things freely given unto us by God.
Amen.
That which also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned.
Amen.
You see, I didn't have any discernment. I was unknowledgeable until I got saved and God took up his abode. And God brought me to a real good Bible scholar. I sat down and studied with him, who had the Holy Spirit in his heart. You see, he didn't call himself a scholar, but I do, because he knew a whole lot more about it. And he said, I'm a scholar. I'm always going to be a scholar. And I am too. I'm going to be a student of his word until I get to heaven. And then I'm going to know in full. Right now, I only know in part. That's all I know. But thank God, one of these days, I'm going to know in full. And John, over in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, I'm thankful this morning that I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. You see, I go through the storms of life just like anyone else. In fact, I'm going through a storm right now. I mean, I'm in a real storm, but you know what? It's different now than the way it used to be. It's a lot different now than the way it used to be. You know why? Just like over there in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, you know, when Jesus ordered the disciples, told them to get in the ship, to go over to the other side. And on their way, you know, the wind and the sea went out of control and the ship was just going down. It was filling up with water. And the Lord Jesus Christ was on the ship. You see, he was asleep on the pillow. Physically, he was asleep. But spiritually, we know that he was very much God. The Godhead was still much, very much in control of what was going on. And thank God. Then the disciples said, "Care not that we perish." And he jumped up and he said to the wind, "Cease." And he said to the sea, "Peace be still." And thank God it stopped. You know, if he could do that, and he can and he does. Thank God. My little problems that I have in this life are nothing to him. If he can, he can take care of the wind and the sea, and he can stop them and say, "Peace be still." Hey, what can he do for me and you? There's no problem that you and I have that he can't handle. Thank God for that today. And I'm glad to know that Jesus is, he. You know what, this morning, you know why I'm not scared? I'm in a storm, but you know what? He's on board my ship. Thank God he's on board. He wasn't before, but now he is. Praise God. You know where he is? He's sitting in the captain's seat. Hallelujah. He's the captain of my ship. He ain't the co-captain. No, he's the captain of my ship. Thank God today for Jesus Christ and what he's done. I'm glad today that he is the captain of my ship. He's the pilot of my plane. He's the one that's in control of my life. I've given my life over to him. I made him Lord. He sits on the throne in my heart. Thank God he does. Thank God I want to follow him. I just don't want to be a cheerleader or a spectator and sit on the side, sit on the couch, sit on the pew and do nothing. I want to get up and worship God. I want to serve him, and I want to do what he'd have me to do. And I'm thankful today that, you know, Brother Jim and Sister Ronnie had given me an invitation to go with them over to Africa. Oh, that blessed my heart. Amen. Over to Ghana, West Africa. Amen. And one Sunday morning, Brother Jim brought a missionary in from Ghana, West Africa. And he told about the blind folk that were over there and all the people that had disabilities and all the problems they had, and said that they were the outcasts of society over there. Their government had no help for them, and their families turned them away and simply put them out on the road. And if a car struck them, that they were just considered to be just like an old stray dog. They just moved out of the way, dead. But you see, that touched my heart, broke my heart. And the Lord spoke to me just like he did Isaiah. And he said, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here, my Lord, send me. Let me tell them. Let me give them the blessed hope. Right now, they're the lost cause. Right now, they're the outcast. But I want to give them the blessed hope. I want to introduce them to the Prince of Peace. I want them to have the opportunity to serve a living God. I want them to know him personally. I want them to have direct access to the throne room. I want them to have an intercessor." Thank God this morning. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for Jesus. Thank God today. Jesus said in Romans 5 and 1, verse 1, he said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, I want them, just like I'm justified by faith. Not, I'm not justified by my righteousness, my works. I'm declared righteous by Jesus Christ. I claim his righteousness this morning. Thank God for that. You see, I want them to have the same privilege. I want them to say, I'm justified by faith. The Bible said in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for the gift of God. Thank God for eternal salvation. And I'll tell you what happened to me. On February 17th, 1988, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And he said in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God for that today. So today I have peace with God because I'm justified by Jesus Christ's righteousness. Thank God it gave me a lot of peace today. The woman just said, I'm an old country man. I might be somewhat liberally educated, but I'm still an old country man. I'm just a common man. I like common people. That's what I like. And I'm glad today that I'm justified by faith. I'm declared righteous by Him. And I'm glad today that I can have peace about that. My sins are gone. Hallelujah. They're not born. They're not buried in the depth of the sea. They're not cast behind His back. They're not in a bag somewhere sealed up. Thank God they're gone. Hallelujah. And He said He'd never bring them up again. If He's not going to bring them up again, why should I? Thank God. Hallelujah. They're buried. They're gone. They're gone. They're done away with. He disposed of them. They ain't going to come back up again. Praise the Lord. So I have peace because I'm saved. And the next reason I have peace, He said in Philippians 4 and verse 6, I have peace because I can go to my Lord in prayer. And He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keepeth your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. So I can go to the Lord in prayer. That gives me great peace. When I have a problem, when I get upset, when I get in turmoil about something, I have great peace when I call my Lord. I have peace that passes all understanding. And I put it in His hands and He takes care of it. Amen. He may not answer it the way I said, but that's right. That's okay. Whatever way He answers it, it's going to be right. Amen. I can trust that He does the right thing. I ask sometimes for things I don't need, but He knows what I need. Hallelujah for that. Amen. And thank God, as we've already said, there's going to be great peace on this world during the millennial reign because the government is going to be on the Lord Jesus Christ's shoulders, He said, and He's going to bring peace. And Isaiah 2 and verse 4, He said, for He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. A nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Thank God. God, He's going to do away with that. All of these peace treaties that we said, they're all just a bunch of paper written. But thank God when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you see, when He comes, He's going to straighten out this mess that's on this world. In this world, when He comes the second time, He's going to sit on the throne. And He said, that He's gonna take over. But in the meantime, you know, our government's in a mess. It's all in turmoil. And but you know what you and I must do as believers? We need to pray for our governmental leaders. The Bible said those that are in authority. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1, He said, I exhort therefore that most of all supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, you and I, we look around and we don't see much peace in this world. We don't see anything that's really good coming of our government. And we know that, really, I believe, and you don't have to agree with me, that's fine, but I believe we've moved out of capitalism and we're headed more into socialism more into communism. But I think that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return and He's going to deliver us out of this mess. I hope He does. Amen. Real soon. I don't know. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that nothing else has to happen before he could come back. Amen. And I believe he could come back at any moment. Amen. And I'm looking for that. And then we're going to have real peace. Yeah. But in the meantime, I'm going to pray for him up there in Washington. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's hard for me. Yeah. A lot of things they do in wickedness, it makes me angry. And yet I have to say, Lord, forgive me. And I pray for him and say, God, help him. And so we are to pray for our leaders. And we are to speak peace from God. You know, you and I as believers, we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. We see life from a different point of view than we did before we got saved. Life is different now than it was before. Thank God for that. In Psalm 34 and verse 12, he said, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. And he said, depart from evil and do good. Speak peace and pursue it, he said. So you know, that's what we need to do. We've got the Holy Spirit in our heart. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. And that's what you and I need to do. Amen. And it's hard to do sometimes. And God bestows peace on those who obey him. Amen. You see, we've been studying in our Wednesday night meetings over at East Side on Wednesday nights. We've been studying about how it is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be a fan. You see, we've got too many fans, even in the church, that say they're saved. They follow the rules. They do everything right. But they're fans. A lot of them, when they come home on Sunday, they put away the Bible and they don't read it again. They don't even touch it till they come back to church again. Come on. Same way I do. You know, I like football. I like Wake Forest. Boo. But anyway, I thank God that, you know, when I come home after watching a football game and cheering them on and just it's just something to entertain pastime a little bit. I'm not so wrapped up in it that I can't serve God, but some people are. But nevertheless, you know, we need something to enjoy. But I sit there and I watch fans. They cheer and yell. And I think, well, that's the way a lot of people are. They're spectators, but they never get involved. They don't ever follow the Lord. They don't ever let him take the reins. They don't ever let him take control. And that's where we are today. And the church is full of fans and not followers. But I'm thankful today that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he bestows peace on those that obey him. He gives us peace when we obey him. And thank God for that. I'm glad today that he said, if in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 7, he said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct, thy reins also instruct me in the night season. I'm glad that he gives me instruction. And he says that he gives peace when I receive his chastening. You see, I'm never going to do everything right. I wish I could. But sometimes I'm going to need to be corrected. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I get out of the will of God. I hope you don't, but sometimes I do. Bless your heart if you don't, but I do sometimes. And God chastens me. Thank God, he's chastened me many times. I don't like it while it's going on, but after it's over, you know, I understand why he did it. You know, when my daddy took me out to the woodshed and gave me a good whipping, I didn't like it. But after it was over, and after we had a little talk, I understood why he did it. And that's the same way I feel about the Lord's chastisement. And he said in Hebrews 12 and verse 5, for ye have forgotten the exhortation which God speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And he said later on, If you be without chastisement whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So we all, as believers, we're going to get his chastisement, because none of us are perfect. And he said, Job said in chapter 5 and verse 17, he said, behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Thank God. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty God. And he said, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hand maketh whole.
Amen.
Thank God he does.
Amen.
Thank God when he chastens us, it's for a good reason. And it's always right. Praise the Lord for that. And I'm thankful for that today. And we, the saints, we all love peace. You and I should. In Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 19, he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the feast of the 4 months, and the feast of the 5th, and the feast of the 7th, and the feast of the 10th, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth, love God's word, and love peace. You see, you and I ought to love God's word. You see, sometimes God's word cuts me deep. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 said, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit,
amen,
and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, a lot of times, this word of God, and it exposes my sin to me. It shows me where I'm going wrong. But if I'll take heed to it and obey it and do what it says, if I love it, how can you love something if you don't obey it?
Amen.
If we love it, we'll obey it, won't we?
Amen.
And that's what he wants us to do, to love truth. In John 17:17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
Thank God, when God speaks to us through his word, we know then that he's dealing with us, and he exposes our sin. It reveals to us what we need to do to get it corrected. And if we'll take heed, it's just like he said, the word of God over in Proverbs doeth good like a medicine.
Amen.
We take that book and read it.
Amen.
And study it. It'll help us.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Sure.
And we should follow peace. 2 Timothy 2:22 said, flee also youthful lusts. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to follow peace, because the Lord loves us this morning. What time is it? How much? I'm guilty of. Okay. Thank you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious word that's forever settled in heaven. God, we thank you, Lord, that you meet with us in a special way. God, take over from here on. God, lead, guide, and direct. Thank you, Lord, for all you do and for every person present. Have your will and way. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.